Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today with episode 177 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it's me, Carrick, with ACG.
We are back. We took a week off last weekend. More so I did. I shall take full blame for that. I was just feeling really overloaded, and so Carrick and I together decided, let's just cancel it for that weekend. So we're back. I'm feeling rejuvenated. We got a really busy news week to go over. We're going to have some opinion pieces as we go along, but if you want to support the show, you can go ahead to Patreon. Oh, he got it right before I even finished. Patreon.
Sorry. Yeah, I jumped in.
Mr. Maddie Plays. Or you can go to Carrick's Patreon. You can flick a buck. You get early access to the podcast. You get Patreon exclusive videos if you decide to flick more than a buck. There's a lot going on there. And I'm going to be announcing some changes soon to my Patreon personally. And so look forward to that. Anyway, that's all we got for the introduction. Nothing else is coming to mind right now that we need to go over. Upcoming content. Yeah, how about that? Anything you're working on?
I'll be doing a Darksiders 3 review. And then I started doing a podcast. So like you, you were talking about getting burned out last Friday.
Yeah.
And I had hurt my back when I was younger, and now it's sort of cropped back up. So I'm glad you canceled, because I would have been here, but I would have been probably stone silent or stoned on painkillers. So, but it does get tiring. You know, it's like games. And so on Thursdays at 10:30, a patron and I got together, and we're just doing like a bullshit podcast where we did 3.5 hours. We had 150 people at one time, which isn't bad. And we just sat and talked about the crazy dolphin sex, shark attacks, flying airplane or flying fucking motorbikes. It was crazy. And like, to me, that rejuvenated me. Like, I can even tell, even just talking to you, like I'm more up than I was.
Yeah.
Because it's like sometimes you're in games all the time and you're like, fuck.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's
I just want to step.
That's the thing. We're not complaining, but like,
no,
too much of anything. And that's the thing. It's like, for me, I have a limit that I try to realize I'm not Superman, that I can't do it all constantly 24/7. And that sometimes I want to unplug from games. And so that's kind of where I was at last weekend. I was like, all right, I just need to like, me and Carrick had our brotherly vent sessions that we have every now and then. And I was just like, dude, I just need to unplug for a weekend. Just no Twitter, no Instagram, no gaming, just. I'm going to go play hockey. I'm going to watch football on Sunday. Like, I'm just not.
Oh, I've been doing that too.
Just chilling.
Have you always done football? Because I don't
football
think we talk
about
NFL
new for me this season. Football is something new for me. Well, part of it's because my brother's been a diehard Falcons fan. I got into it 2 years ago. I was kind of like flickering on and off watching games. This is like my first season fully into it, like watching all the games, you know, just being that channel flicker who's going from one game to the other. You know, learning players' names, like getting the hang of the actual sport.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I've kind of turned to that. That's my Sundays now, and I love it.
Dude, that's mine too. That's crazy, because this is the first year after eight. I've spent 8 years away where I was like, you know, just not super interested, and I don't know what it was, but I was the same way as you. I think it's Sundays are cool to just defrag, but it's like, I used to defrag by looking at game news or watching a podcast about games, but now I'm like, oh, I'll just do something outside of it completely.
Yep,
and
same.
Funny enough, we both picked the same thing.
Dude, same. Yeah, I either do something completely different or I go play. Like, if I want to play a game, but I'm like, I don't want to play a video game, I usually play Dragon Ball Super, the card game, which is like, you know, that home away from home almost, it feels like. I absolutely adore that game. The new set, actually, as we record this, just dropped today, so $200 out the window.
So here's what's funny.
Bleed me dry, man. Ugh.
The guy who does the podcast with me, it's his favorite thing, and he spent an hour in the podcast talking about it. It's his favorite thing.
I love that game.
And he just got the cards and the new set that came out. And he sat there and explained all. And it's so weird that you and him, you both like talk about it so glowingly, because I'm going to be a fan, or be honest, I'm not a huge fan of the card games usually. But it's like everything is explained about this. And so he was just like showing cards and being like, this is this card. This is what you have to do here. And then and then talking about the excitement of the new set. And man, yeah, it seems like a lot of people are starting. It's almost like it's growing, which
is
weird.
It is. I noticed that, especially at my own local shop. It's like usually there's about like 20 of us, which is pretty good, pretty healthy. But
for tournaments?
Yeah. Yeah. But like, it was popping today. Like, there were a lot of people in and out for like all Dragon Ball. And it was crazy. I'm happy that it's growing. I think because if it does grow, what'll probably bring most people in is like the digital version that I imagine they'll inevitably do, because that'll make them so much money. And I can't imagine that they're not taking a look at Magic the Gathering Arena, which is literally Magic the Gathering, but a digital form. And when you unpack cards now for Magic the Gathering, it comes with a code on one of the cards that you put in on the game online, and you get a free pack in-game. So you're getting really like two packs for the price of one, and it keeps you on both of them. So you're still playing the physical, you're not missing out, and you can still get into the digital. So yeah, I imagine that that's kind of the route DBS will take. But also, it's, I'm going to be totally honest, as a casual, like, it just, the first reason I looked at this game, for nothing else, but I thought the card designs were
so cool.
The art was mind-blowingly good. And it, like, captivates every unique scene in Super, Z, GT, for those who like GT, and the original Dragon Ball. It's awesome. It's so fucking good.
Yeah, it is definitely growing. I mean, because he's in Europe. And he was just saying that, like, it started out, I mean, he's liked it for about a year, I think a year. And then he was saying the same thing. He was just like, the art, that was one of the first things he brought up, was the art for everything is actually just really impressive. And it physically it sort of grabs you. Yeah,
exactly. Anyway, card games can wait. We have some gaming news to go over. So we're doing things a little bit differently in a sense, because my phone, which I usually read the news off of, is not obtaining any of the articles properly because for some reason it's not connecting to Wi-Fi. So we're going to have Carrick read off the news bits. We're starting off with Final Fantasy 15. Hajime Tabata resigned as the director, and also all the DLC except one episode, which was, I believe, Arden, was canceled for this game. So we're going to get into the official news statement and then our thoughts on it. So Carrick, take us away.
All right, so this is actually from The Verge. Originally, I was going to go to Polygons, but Verge popped up earlier. Square Enix cancels Final Fantasy episodes as director quits company. And it said, today, Square Enix hosted a live stream that was billed as a special program with exciting news about the upcoming Final Fantasy content, but an incredible plot twist worthy of the series itself. The news turned out to be inconceivably terrible. Almost all of the DLCs have been canceled, and the game director, Tabata, has left the company altogether. It says, Square Enix had planned to continue the never-ending flow of Final Fantasy content all through 2019 with four DLC episodes centered on the characters. Instead, only the Arden episode will be released. The other three have been abandoned. There'll be a collaboration event with Final Fantasy next month, and the Comrades multiplayer will also be spun out into a standalone game, the PS4 and Xbox One. I did not know the standalone game part.
Yeah, did you? So that doesn't surprise me because I played the Comrades DLC, and it was fun. It was like Monster Hunter meets Final Fantasy 15. Mm-hmm. So it was enjoyable as a framework, and it seemed pretty meaty, like when I was diving into it, and I thought, like, okay, this could be its own thing, and they could probably monetize it and fuel future content. That was my idea, because I heard that there was originally the plan to do all these episodes in 2019. I was like, oh shit, man, like, you know, that's gonna be, that they got to support that somehow. I doubt the game, you know, at least I didn't think it was selling like hotcakes still, or even with the PC re-release and everything, which had mods. I mean, it's interesting with these situations. It always, and it shows that the company's technically doing a good job in the sense of putting this positive image on the product. Like, it looked like things were going great. Tons of DLC.
Yes.
Re-releases, or not re-release, but a Windows version, mods. It kind of had a resurgence on Twitter where people are posting these funny mod screenshots of like the group as the Power Rangers and stuff, and it looked like perfect, you know. And so what do you feel like? Were you shocked by this news, or did you feel like, maybe because you seem to always have like your finger on the pulse with this stuff, or
I was the same way as you. I was like, I was not only really shocked, but I was actually sort of depressed, because this is the Final Fantasy that got me back into Final Fantasies. I know it's not the greatest Final Fantasy game, but it actually looked good enough. It was, like, playable, you know, that was enjoyable to play. And I really actually liked it. And it was crazy, because I woke up it was at night, and I went into the Discords, both of our Discords, and people were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
They just, and to be honest, we rarely hear that. I mean, so we do get games that get announced and don't come out. We get games that get announced and have a season pass, and there's been a couple that have been canceled for sure, but this is pretty insane, because it's just that one character, and then it's like all the other stuff is just gone.
Yeah,
it was not what I was expecting.
I mean,
at all.
What's weird about it is you cancel three episodes, and the one that they're keeping is episode Arden, which is about like the main antagonist, which makes sense in the terms of story because he has the biggest connection and the biggest mystery kind of left after it's all said and done. But the first set of episodes, which were Gladiolus, Prompto, and I'm forgetting the other one's name right now.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember at this moment in time. It's not coming to me, but it's the one who says he's got a new recipe. But they did episodes for those three, and then the one of the episodes of the three that got canceled was for Noctis, the main protagonist. Yeah, and I was personally upset because I might butcher her name. Like, it's either Arania or Arania. I can't remember, but it's been since the game actually dropped that I played it. But I was big on her, and I thought she was dope. Like, her concept, some of, like, the little teases they left about her and when she appeared in the story. I thought there was so much to her that could have been explored. I really liked how Square was doing the DLC platform, and I know a lot of people will say, well, it's one thing to like it, but did you support it? I personally played the episodes because Square had provided a season pass to me, and so I was kind of going through all the episodes, and they're fun. They flesh out the character a little bit more, and when you play them as a package, I feel like as each standalone one dropped, it was not really something that you were going to go out of your way and play. But as they, you know, I think a lot of people looked at it as, okay, let's wait for the whole package of, you know, all four of the main characters to come out together, play that in a bunch. And then they were going to, I think they had a Luna Freya episode planned, the Arania or Arania. I'm going to continue to butcher her name. I apologize, Final Fantasy fans. They were going to have an episode for her. And then the main antagonist, like, I really liked how they took this approach where maybe the main story should have done it, but they were going to give each character their focus and like a couple of hours of more story content. What did you feel about how they were handling the platform? Do you think, I mean, clearly there was a better way to do it because they, I think, announced a loss of like $33 million, like something crazy.
I will say that I actually think that's the best. I think that the story thing is the most enjoyable DLC setup for me personally. The reason why is you and I both like KOTOR, for example. But for an example, for people who understand like where we're coming from, these are older RPG titles, obviously. But they were at a time when BioWare was at its best, and they still could have done a character-based DLC I would have played. In fact, a lot of DLC is like, here's a new town. That's great and everything, but how many times have we played that DLC and gone, it's sort of just a dynamic quest. It's not like, it's just like this place. Oh, it's added, and then sometimes it doesn't make sense. You're like, why was this town not a place I could go to in the original game? So what I liked about character DLC is because everybody's character has more story. Like, if you and I sat and talked about our lives for 10 hours, we would still not run out of shit to say.
Yeah.
So to me, these characters, that's awesome to me. That's to me is some of the best ideas for DLC. And so that's why I'm actually sad, is like some of these characters. I mean, how many times, the only thing I would say that you're right on for sure when you were talking about like they should have done it in the main story, the only thing I will say negative is the stupid 2-hour movie you were supposed to watch or whatever it was.
Knight's Glade,
you know,
or King's
yeah
Glade,
that kind yeah like they did. That story somehow should have been in the main game as game. Like, they should have figured that out.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and then they did the Brotherhood anime, which gives you a little more background. And I think that was, like, was it exclusive to YouTube or something? It was something weird, yeah. Some of the pre-play knowledge that you had to have and the way they did that might have been resources that could have just gone into the game. And I don't know how much hype it helped build up. But it just seemed like this was the Final Fantasy that was going to be like a platform forever until they were
That's what I thought too.
Okay, like 16's in, or whatever they're doing next is in beta phase. Like, now we can just shelf 15, but they kept kind of.
Well, I don't know about you. I don't think they thought about, like, I mean, the co-op getting added. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a big change. So, like, to me, it seems like it feels to me like it's a surprise to them. Well, we do know because he left. So. Obviously, but at the same time, you would have hoped he's gonna go create his own company. At some point internally in Square, you would have hoped somebody would have sat him down and been like, "Okay, we need to do everything we can to keep like you here."
Yeah, because he seemed to be like the heart of it.
He did. He did, which you and I talked about prior to the podcast. I would love for companies to no longer do ever. I don't want to hear somebody's name prior to a game. They're the ones who get all the positivity, and if they're the only ones with the general flow, then that means if they die, you're screwed. Ken Levine, I love him. I like BioShocks. I like all his stuff, but I don't. We already know he's tough because of how he works, and right. I would rather Peter Molyneux, Fable, all that shit, remove the person from it, and I think it'd be a little safer because this seems like a nuclear option, right?
I see it a lot, like, too, almost for, like, scapegoating reasons. Like, my friends play Call of Duty, so whenever they hate Black Ops 4 or something stupid happens, they're like, oh, my God, Vaughn, what the fuck? Because David Von Dar, he's the face of it all. Just like Bethesda Pete Hines or Bethesda Todd Howard. I mean, we see every company's got that face, that scapegoat. And
there's always other people working on the games. Yeah. There's some poor podunk OS guy who's like, his only job is to make sure fucking Windows are shiny in a game or whatever. He's not going to get his name mentioned because all the stardom goes to one person or the direction is from that person.
Right.
I would like to see it happen less.
That's why I admire, and this isn't to get off track. I do like how, for example, Todd Howard handled it, where he always says, like, the reason I don't have social media is because I don't want this to be about me. He's like, I have a team and they are the ones who make this possible. And I was like, I respect that personally, that, you know,
and Ken's done it too.
Yeah. Except Ken is on Twitter, but,
I just mean, he's very open about team.
Yeah, no, and that's great. I think I don't really think I've ever met a developer who's been like, yeah, I'm the shit, basically, and this
Peter,
is all
bro.
Me. Who?
Peter.
No.
Peter Molyneux. Now, I mean, I like Peter. I actually like his games, but if there's anybody out there who would not mention anybody else, it was fucking always Peter, dude. It was like the Fable.
That's funny.
Yeah, he was sort of a jackass.
Not that I don't
like,
believe
it
you.
Was,
I'd never heard it, so...
Yeah, he's the only one, because you're right. No one else would, even if they were being fake humble, right? A humble brag, and they were like, it's my team, you know, just to try to make everybody like him. He was like, hi, I'm Peter Molyneux, and I'm going to introduce you to my version of Fable, or whatever. You're like, damn. he was pretty up there, I'll just say that.
That's good. So how about, speaking of Hajime, him leaving, why do you feel that they couldn't maybe fill the void? Like, they if you're losing $33 million, you have to kind of see that coming. Don't you kind of expect things might hit the fan and, hey, we should have, like, a backup plan so maybe we can continue this onwards? Or was it just not feasible at all in any reality to continue this on if the losses were that big?
So the rumor is that he came on, and it does state here, this is also The Verge, it says, the departure is particularly surprising because he recently set up and took control of a new studio within Square Enix, Luminous Productions. Final Fantasy went through a famously troubled and protracted development, and he is actually largely credited with turning the project around. So what I wonder is, he came in and turned it around, and maybe nobody thought of a safety net. They're like, here's our savior, right? And what happens sometimes when somebody's a superstar, they don't tell. They don't let the guitarist sing, you know. Not. I mean, for a rock band analogy.
No, it's
you know.
Great analogy.
I mean, I wonder if that's what he did. I wonder if he fixed it and Square was like, "Oh fuck, this guy's on it." So they just rolled with it and they didn't really go, you need to tell your ideas to this person over here, you know, so that the company can continue. And somebody told me today in a podcast that's called the bus theory. Which is, how many developers could you put in a bus to get in a car wreck and all die and still be able to create your game? And what it feels like to me is that it was just him.
Wow. Interesting.
Which is weird, isn't it?
I think part of it's also, there's got to be some level of burnout going on with this
game. There
has to be. Because for a lot of us, we're thinking, well, this journey started for us 2 years ago when the game dropped in end of 2016. But for them, started like 12 years ago. And I don't think Tabata has been there the whole time. I'm not 100% sure on that.
No, has not.
Yeah, I was going to say, you said he came in and kind of flipped it around.
Yeah.
But even then, I'd imagine for most, it's probably like a minimum of 6 to 8 years with this game.
Yeah.
So for them, it's a difference. For us, it's like this is fresh. There's still room to explore this universe. It seems like, you know, they had a great plan for the future. And why stop it now? But when we look on the other side, we have a company that's been working on this for so damn long. And part of me, it's that Telltale situation. Because, like, when you see them partner up with Assassin's Creed and stuff, and you see Assassin's Creed Origins gets, like, Noctis's blade in the game, and then there's an Assassin's Creed event that's limited for Final Fantasy 15, stuff like that. It just looked like 15 was a platform that was just fucking raking in the dough.
So, yeah, in fact, wouldn't you agree that it looks like Final Fantasy 7 was the problem child, the recreation? Mm-hmm. Like, it's got all these development issues, and no one really thought 15, like, once there was a troubled development, whatever, but it got out and it did really well. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, for me, of all the stories, like, that was completely, just almost even still now, reading his statement about wanting to start another company and stuff still doesn't make sense. Like, and we'll probably find out, right? In a couple months, we'll probably find out, you know, the little nitty gritty. I don't know about you, but I also assume maybe he may have had some kind of thing where he had a time limit of how long he wanted to be working on it, too.
That's
where,
true.
So,
you think it's like a contract, or...?
Well, not a contract, but almost like a mental thing. So, for example, when you and I started, you know, YouTube, I've said before, like, I'm going to do 5 years at this speed and then see where I am. Mm. I'm wondering if maybe he's like, I want to fix Final Fantasy, blah, 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 and get all this set up. And then in his brain, because he says in the statement on Verge, he says, in regards to my next endeavors in near future, I have a project that I truly wish to solidify as my next challenge after Final Fantasy. And I wonder, like, what if you had an idea, you know, go to another platform, right? And so at some point you're like, I just need to shit or get off the pot.
Yeah.
And yet when he went, maybe Square Enix then, with the losses of the $33 million, just looked at all of it and just said, single player DLC isn't selling. And which is true. We've seen that now. Mm-hmm. We know about that.
Multiplayer didn't do much for them either.
And maybe their multiplayer didn't do much, yeah.
Interesting. I've always been a big supporter of a director leaving and trying something new, because I feel like that takes a lot of courage. And a good recent example of that is it was in our, what do I call it, Weeaboo Whoppers or something like that. I highlighted that the director of Danganronpa and the director of Zero Escape combined to make a studio and left Spike Chunsoft, which had been making, like, which Danganronpa I find amazing, and Zero Escape, which is also really good. And, like, those two heads are now combining because they decided to take a leap and try something different.
Yeah.
And the game concept that they released sounds awesome. So I think that Hajime is making a good decision. I just wonder if he was almost put in a position where they're like, hey, we're kind of canning this, so out the door you go, and, you know, that's it.
Well, the easiest way – oh, go ahead.
I was just saying that that's pretty much it, because I wonder if it was like – obviously it was his choice. I feel like they probably would have said, all right, you're going on to the next Final Fantasy project. But then he chose to leave. What I also don't get, though, is that they were hyping this up as, like, positive news. It was a special announcement. And
yeah, and not only that, Maddie, like, the easiest way to – a good analogy would be, if an NFL team has a shitty coach, they might replace him mid-season, but they don't just cancel the season ever.
Yeah.
Like, ever. And that's exactly the analogy that works perfect for me, is, like, if they were unhappy internally, or he was unhappy and he left – the fact that they stopped it, and then the fact that you're absolutely right, they had a special about it, and they were like, great news, we've canceled it. And you're like, wait, did I miss something?
Like,
in translation?
That's what they were thinking.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what it is. Is they're like, finally done with this shit. I don't know.
Could
it's
be.
Sad.
Nonetheless, sad news for gamers. Maybe not Square Enix. Who the fuck knows?
Maybe not. Yeah.
Anyway. Next bit, we're going to be talking about the Red Dead Online beta, which is supposed to be coming at the end of this month. So you said you had a little article up about that?
Yeah, like Games Radar was talking about. Multiplayer, so it says this is, of all things, from Daily Star, which is just the first one that came up. Red Dead Redemption 2 online release date revealed, multiplayer coming end of month. It says Take-Two's confirmed Red Dead Redemption 2 online won't arrive in November until, well, won't arrive in main November until towards the end of the month. And the thing is it really doesn't have a lot of information, because they're still cagey with info.
Amazing, even with the game's performance.
Yeah, they're still cagey. Do we know anything? I mean,
okay, so there's one thing you can find out. If you go to the trophy/achievements, there are Red Dead Online trophies and achievements, and they highlight creating a posse, doing free roam events with characters, that there are like events that you can interrupt other people doing and have your posse take on theirs.
Yeah.
I know there's obviously a leveling up system because one of them is like get to rank 100.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like there's some type of slight story attached to it because there was like complete the introduction, complete this, complete that. I'm trying to think of what else. Yeah, like you can get some general baseline info on what it is. Oh, like rewards. Like one of them said get like 5 gold belt buckles for whatever. So I guess, you know, that's kind of like maybe that's a rating or that's an item you get when you rate at a certain point in an event.
Yeah.
But yeah, I that's all I really got on it. But it's interesting that they are being cagey. The reason I feel that way is because the game was just announced to be one of the biggest launches, not this year, not in gaming, but in like entertainment history.
Yeah.
So why do you want to hide the component that will give this entertainment phenomenon life for years and become your next GTA Online? Or do you think they view it as, let's get all we can out of GTA Online to the last possible moment and then say, hey, here's Red Dead Online?
That's true, too. I also wonder if, like, if you look at good old games and CD Projekt Red, so CD Projekt Red's sort of known for the same thing, though they showed The Witcher, but they just do what they want to do on their own timeline. Rockstar's got enough money for a fucking, you know, casino for each nut.
They can buy out the games industry.
Yeah, dude, it's insane. Like, I don't think people realize just how insane, remembering that GTA is still in the top 10 sales in America every month. Yep. Every month. So I think when you look at it, maybe they just don't need, like, their requirements to hit certain things. They're also not a publicly, like, fully publicly traded, that particular part.
Right.
So maybe it's just one of those things where they're not dancing to anybody, including us. But it would be nice to get a bone, dude, because, I mean, it's hard to know. All you can do is compare it to GTA Online, and if that's true, it's going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I don't want. The posse idea, love that, interrupting people, all that, but I'd like to see some of this damn shit.
Here's the thing, is that, like, I've been playing Red Dead 2. I know you beat it. I am on the middle of Chapter 6. Don't worry, folks. We're not spoiling anything. But I am so enamored by this game. I think it's literally one of the best games to drop in this generation. It's easily going to be in like my top 20 games of all time. Easily. Hands down. Yeah. It is probably one of the most absorbing, entertaining, fun to just be a part of open worlds I've played since Skyrim, probably. Which, that's saying something, because that says so much to me, because Skyrim is still a game we joke about how many times it comes back. Skyrim is a game that I could literally fire up right now and have a good time in. Yep. I absolutely love Skyrim's world, and I get that feeling with Red Dead, and I know it's going to stick. So for me, an online component, I have full confidence in. I don't have the usual confidence I think a lot of press and gamers share, which is, it's Rockstar. But I just adore this game so much. And a lot of people were like, oh, look at this guy. He was like, someone said I was like talking shit about Rockstar. And I was like, I just said that I wasn't like head over heels for this game right away.
Yeah.
And I think it's a testament to how good this title is, because they literally convinced me, who was only like, hey, I think they make good games. I think I respect what they do, but the only games that have really clicked with me were GTA 5 to some extent, and Bully to a huge extent.
Bully.
I loved Bully. Like, that's the Rockstar game I love. So for me to be like, Red Dead 2, better than any Rockstar game I've played, and one of the best games I've ever played, really, I think, says something. So for me, with this online expansion, I'm not concerned. They can announce it day before. I just know it's gonna, if they just take that open world space, which they're going to, and they put it with some online modes, events, they don't make us wait too long, like for features that filled out the world, like GTA Online, where I felt like it kind of hit its stride and was like, this is what they were aiming for initially when they added heists and robberies. Like, I want train robberies day one, day and date. Like, that stuff that I want a world to interact with and do stuff in, and not just dick around with for a month until they finally add substance to it. Anyway, I'm getting ranty. What do you think about GTA Online dropping? GTA Red Dead Online dropping at the end of this month. And are you going to be hopping into it? Are you excited for it? Does the Red Dead single player component encourage you more? Where are you at with this?
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. But what's really sort of cool is, like, number one, you're not hugely into Western games, which I've enjoyed Gun. I really enjoyed Red Dead. Or I'm sorry, Red
Gun's
Dead.
Gun's a classic.
And Gun, Kris Kristofferson and Thomas Jane. But what's strange to me is I came from a different part than you did. You were sort of not enamored with the idea of 2. I was comparing 2, or going into 2, comparing it to number 1, which is one of my favorite games of all time. Yeah. So KOTOR, Red Dead, those are like the two matches. And I would say not only do I like Red Dead 2 better than 1, which is pretty surprising.
Wow.
I would say that it actually, if you take the blinders off and you don't look at KOTOR just as a fan service kind of thing and like an ancient fan game, I may like it more than KOTOR, is stunning to me. Yeah, and what's funny is I had issues with it, but I had issues with KOTOR.
But you know what?
I do have some issues with Red Dead 2, yeah, for sure.
Same.
But man.
And here's what's stunning is when you said that, it's like I get it. And I think everyone knows how much we fucking obsess over KOTOR. So for you to say something crazy like that, and for me to be like, I get where you're coming from, like that, I think that just fucking says something, because the world is so reactive in such a believable fashion. And I'm so happy you told me about the no repeating NPC voice actors and actresses.
Mm-hmm.
What a difference.
Yeah.
Because every event, every encounter is different. And then those conversations you have with these strangers are different people. It's a living, fucking breathing world. It's incredible.
Wouldn't you say it's what we've wanted from an RPG since maybe Oblivion showed the fucking, when Todd Howard showed Oblivion and said, here's where our Radiant AI, and it went crazy. Like, people did random things, lit dogs on fire, and then they had to turn it down. Every open world game has said this was going to happen, right? Even to an extent, Witcher 3, which I know a lot of people absolutely love Witcher 3, but even it had some issues. But what's weird is Red Dead does a lot of the shit that I think all gamers have always wanted.
Yeah.
And never really got, if you're honest with yourself and you look at, you know, details. And I'm not saying there's not issues, but dude, it's insane. The level of detail also, I don't know if you noticed this, but like in Bully or GTA, Bully in particular, there wasn't a huge sense of like past, present, present past, where like if I showed up, there wasn't a huge sense of history other than Bulwurst. But I like Bulwurst because you were this fucking little kid and had this great, you know, history and all this.
The idea of a kid going away to school who's just chaotic to life, in a way. And they gave you like the right arsenal of like a potato gun, a slingshot, just goofy shit.
But to me, it was more in the now. And then GTA came out, GTA 5, and I think they did a really good job where they introduced characters from the prior game, but they also explained that Trevor had a history with the other characters. So, like, you got a history there. But what happens in Red Dead, not only do you have Red Dead 1, but this is a prequel, but you have a sense of everything having a history, including the world. Like, not only do the animal carcasses, like, show damage, and you can skin the animals, but you can leave them. They can slowly go bad and rot on the ground. Buzzards won't just land. They'll fly around just like real buzzards do and then land and then eat it slowly. Like, that's like 4 steps more than I would even have expected and also demanded.
Yeah.
Like, from a game. You know, if buzzards landed and it just faded, I would be happy.
It's little things like when you, we'll stay on the skinning topic, when you start skinning an animal, instead of, you know, you hold triangle to start skinning, depending on where you are with the body, the animation is different for how you orient yourself off the bat. Yeah. So if you start off kind of at the butt end, Arthur will straddle it, stick his knife in, and start going around that way. Where if you're facing his stomach, he'll take a knee, stick it in, and then start cutting around again. So he's kind of doing the same thing each time, but it depends how you approach it. It's not like one of those games where when you hold a button to do something, it kind of like you just awkwardly shift your character to the animation starting spot, and then he does the good animation. It's like wherever corner angle you're coming from, he starts it in a very natural, believable fashion. it's just I think the animation work. I connected it in my Breaking the World Down video for Red Dead. I connected it to the Lego games. I said, you know, which I think is a little crazy, but Lego, every character feels different because they're so well animated and they do have the same button inputs and the same prompts. But because each time you press a button, you see maybe one does a flip, but then one person just does a little hop. And when you throw a punch, if you're Mr. Fantastic versus Spider-Man, who might do a more agile kick to the side versus a stretchy arm punch, those animations sell a different idea to the gamer. And I think that those two titles really kind of feed off each other in a way where you can see Rockstar just goes crazy with the animation work in this title, and it pays off so much. I also like how one thing this game really did well that I noticed also while recording this video was it makes you feel a part of the world in a way that a lot of games don't do. A lot of games try to make it all about you, all about, you know, things happening to you. Let's throw shit at the gamer. Where, you know, you'll walk by a person and you'll see their head just follow you.
Yeah.
Because you're the gamer, you're the player. They want you to feel like the attention's on you. Where in this title, you'll walk by a saloon, a guy will be smoking a cigarette outside, and he doesn't fucking know you. He doesn't care. He's just smoking a cigarette, and he's not, like, following you, looking at you the whole way you pass by until his head's literally twisted 180 degrees. That type of stuff just goes so far in world building, on top of the interaction we talked about. On top of that, like, point A to point B travel where you're inevitably going to hit into something. I feel like so many little parts, it's like they start with the most fundamental details and continue to build and build and build and build and build. And they nail the big things even. It's crazy to me.
I wonder if the multiplayer will have this. That's the thing I'm worried about.
Yeah, good point.
Like, will it be able to, you know, have these details, like, for example, the posse, the interrupting another group, you know, what's that going to end up doing? Does the bounty hunters come after you or they come after the other group? If like it's in the middle, like how does that work, for example? Because I could technically have two posses, really, like your posse, let's say, and mine, you're doing the robbery. Maybe the cops show up and you're fighting them off. But then my posse comes in, saves you. Like, can you then give me money? And that's the thing that it normally I would not say that would happen. Normally, I would not say that a developer would put that kind of work into it. But I actually do feel that there's a chance that you and I will be able to walk up to each other after a job and you'll be able to say, here's 20% for, you know, like, for saving us.
I think so.
That, to me, is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of flexibility there.
Yeah, it's just, oh, man. You know, if it's even an eighth of the detail that they put into the single-player component, it'll be really good. So I'm so ready for it.
GTA has the private issues with private and the public servers, and some things don't unlock. That's the one thing I am wondering about is, like, how will the servers work? Because I like the private servers where, like, you and I could go in and play and the NPCs are there.
Right.
But we don't have to worry about a public lobby. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if I want a public lobby, that's great. You go into a saloon, let's say, and there's different players running around. That'll be fine. But sometimes I'm not going to want that. And that's the one thing I am wondering about is, like, how the servers are going to work.
You're wondering if
private lobby
you
get versus
a private lobby with four of your friends, you make a posse, and you go. See, here's the thing is I feel like the go-to number with multiplayer games, and this is just me. I'm not trying to project, but this is just me. I always feel like the go-to number is four. And it's like,
yeah, me too.
Look at Dutch's gang. You know, it's like a posse of 20 people.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think
with
myself,
a camp.
Yeah, with a camp. So I think to myself, what if, like, we just had a fucking huge group and that you could make a private server and that you were almost your own rendition of Dutch's gang, however you want to tackle that. Do you want to be Honor Among Thieves? Do you just want to be complete cutthroat outlaws? And it's how you and your friends interact with a world space that's constructed differently for... Oh, fuck, man, that would be so cool. I really hope that's the case.
Well, I mean, and it may be, like, if you could have a posse of 20, let's say, they in the camp that you build, they can also deliver food, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think of all the companies that probably might try that. That's the thing about, I think, with Rockstar is they try a lot of stuff that other companies are like, eh, it may not work. And they're like, fucking, see if it will.
We got,
we got
some
time.
Spend some.
Yeah. So to me, I think the online success will be a couple of things. And I think one will be to offer a ton right away that is an extra money. And then the second will be the reason to keep you there has to be somewhat reflective of the single player game, which GTA Online is. There's NPCs running around, all this crazy stuff. You're going to have to mimic that and the detail at least close in the multiplayer game, because if you're skinning an animal, you know, like, can you put it on my horse then? And can I be the one who carries all the shit? And you, like, there's just different things that the single player causes you to expect in the multiplayer, which is going to be really demanding, I think, for them. Because otherwise, dude, you and I are going to come off single player and go, yeah, multiplayer is cool, but it's multiplayer. And I don't necessarily want to do that. Instead, I'd like to say, dude, multiplayer is single player, but better. Yeah. And we've got our posse in there.
You don't want it to be a sidestep. You want it to be a full step. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so I think that's where I'm just like, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm hoping.
As am I. So we'll find out by the end of the month. Do you think it's going to be in Rockstar fashion and they'll do a final day of the month? Or do you think it's like, you know.
Yeah, they'll do. I think they'll do a final.
That's what I think.
Like, I think they don't give a shit.
As long as possible. I think
they'll
just
do whatever they want.
But yeah, they'll do what they want. They don't care. And let the single player part sell the game for a while, because the online will sell itself for years easily.
Yeah, and what did I don't remember what the number was, but that single,
I think I saw 17 million.
Yeah, or something. I mean, that's pretty fucking crazy when you just look at, like, and that was in 3 days or something. Yeah, like, so
oh my gosh, bro,
imagine working there. Ignoring, we know that there's all the claims about the work issues for sure, and I want to make sure when I'm talking about the details, I don't pretend like maybe people work too hard, and that'll come out. I don't know it, so that'll come out. But imagine working there. My hope is that people were working there, and they saw that, and they were like, you know, this is 8 years well, you know, incredibly well spent. Because it's got 45-minute credits, or 30, wait, I can't remember. It's got insanely long credits, just really, unbelievably long. Yeah, and so, like, that to me, I'm hoping a lot of those people, you know, who maybe worked really hard on this, you know, from the testers on, can sit back and go, yeah, man, like, it was worth it. It's also a Western game, Maddie, which I don't think people understand. Westerns don't sell well. So the idea that they have nailed it and it's not a super soldier holding a fucking gun and shooting aliens is pretty insane.
Sold on pedigree alone, I feel. Yeah, obviously the game itself is amazing. Don't let me take away from
that.
No,
I know what you mean. But Red Dead 1 being good.
And just Rockstar. Just Rockstar. Yeah. It's
Bully 2, though, right? Isn't that your hope?
That's
the hope?
That's kind of the rumor next thing. There have been leaks. There's been rumors. There's been discussions. Even during Red Dead, even before Red Dead. Yeah. Like, the thing was, like, Rockstar has been targeting Bully next. Because I think I read... someone told me, so I can't say this is factual. But I was told that the reason Rockstar doesn't want to do GTA 6 is because they like to take crazy things that wouldn't happen in the real world and put them in their game. But since the real world gets so crazy, they're just
understood.
Like, they're like, we're just feel like we're just imitating life at that point, which is kind of wild to me. But when I heard that, I was like, yeah, I mean, when you're in their position, do they really need to make a GTA game right away? I mean, I get it, because it's kind of like the Fallout Elder Scrolls effect with GTA and Red Dead. Some people, even though that game's selling like a fuck ton, you know, there are still people who are like, I like GTA, I don't like Red Dead.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I get where those people who are GTA fans and want 6 are coming from, but I feel like if I'm Rockstar, you probably want to do something that you either haven't done in a really long while, Bully, which was like 06, or something completely new. So I imagine that's the route,
something
realistically,
completely.
You know, especially with these crunch issues, there's probably been some irritation within the studios. Obviously, these people worked very hard on the game. I mean, the product screams that. They probably want to do something new, right? I think just humanly speaking, not even from business.
I personally feel like there could be a sci-fi. Imagine them doing like a Firefly or a sci-fi game, because Starfield came out, and obviously I think everybody can realize, or not came out, but the announcement, I think everybody can realize just how popular that was. Like, people were like, a sci-fi game, like No Man's Sky, even though it didn't really deliver. But people want sci-fi, too. So Rockstar, if they don't do Bully, which is what I hope, I would love for them to tackle another, you know, fantasy. I don't necessarily think they should tackle, because you have Skyrims and you have these games where they come out quicker and right. they do pretty well. I don't know if Rockstar wants to compete there, but I think they could do some crazy stuff. The only problem I have, Maddie, with Bully is we already know that Billy Hopkins, who he is in the future, he's the character in Manhunt, Rockstar's other game. He's the main character there. So we already know what happens with his future. What I want to know is who would Bully 2 be? Like, and where would they? So Bully had the European feel, you know, Bullsworth Academy versus like College of Tech for America, right. That kind of thing. Like, I'm wondering where you would go in Bully 2. Like, would you go with...
I feel like Bully 1 had more of a high school feel to it. Where mm-hmm. I just imagine Bully 2 would be almost like an 18-year-old college kid feel to it. But
would that grab you as much?
Because now that I talk about it, the issue that gets presented is I was like, oh, and it could go beyond the campus, kind of like the first game did. But the first game, because of tech, it was limited enough where it felt like the campus yeah. was the heart of the game. And then the surrounding areas were more like mission space. And now with games getting so big, I mean, you look at Red Dead 2's map, and I imagine the next game Rockstar does somehow will magically have a map bigger than that. And it's yeah. like, you don't make a college campus that fucking big. You gotta have a surrounding world space.
True.
But then if you do that, obviously, you know, if you're in a college setting, it's probably going to be in like a city or something along those lines to make the setting interesting, and then you might have GTA as a college student, and it's like, is that, does that work? You know, how do you separate
yeah.
that?
Not only that, I liked the hijinks, you know, first kiss, you know, bullies. True. Because remember, the original Bully, he was supposed to be the bad guy. Like the original, and even in the original art, they showed Hopkins as being like a mean dude, and it ended up being the reverse, where bullies were everybody else. And mm-hmm. I mean, he was sort of a bully himself, but nowhere near everybody else. They toned him down. I like the young kid thing, and that's the problem. Is you go to college, people are fucking like all the time. There's crazy shit all the time, so it reflects the same exact worry. Are you gonna just try to do a crazy college game? But then everybody's like, well, that's college. That's not that crazy. So right. to me, sometimes the idea of a young kid again. You know, especially in the public school systems, can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Like, what if you did, like, you know, Harlem or some crazy thing where it was like, yeah, it's school, but it's also getting home alive and shit. Like, I mean, there's definitely some things they can play with. But I it just makes me wonder how they'll go about, like, capturing the same feel but not being Hopkins and age-wise, yeah. like yeah. which age they go for.
Gotcha. Well, we'll see in due time. Red Dead Online is coming our way pretty soon, so we'll be sure to check that out. Next bit is Fallout, so we'll just quickly go over some beta impressions. I actually made like a full another impressions video, so this is just going to be like quickly all about you, Carrick, honestly. So the beta concluded. We had roughly about 30-ish hours to play on the game. Did you get a chance to play any more? None.
I decided to not. I'm gonna play the final game, but I decided like that I don't want to compare it to any other game right now, because I think it would against some games. You've got your big games that have come out, your Spider-Man stuff like that. I figured I'll just stay away from it completely. When it comes out, I'll jump into it. Well, I jumped in a couple times, but it wasn't even playing. It was looking at like perks and stuff. So it wasn't really like running around and doing shit like everybody else. But that being said, I did talk to a shit ton of people who played it, Discord people. And it seems to me, some people are still going to dislike it no matter what, right? But it does seem to me that, I guess, overall opinion is a little better than it was prior to these last couple betas. It seems like there were still issues, but it seems like a lot of people were like, this is pretty fun. Like, mm-hmm. and I'm hoping that's right, because as a big Fallout fan, I would much rather have it succeed than not.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I've talked about it so much on the channel. I do not need to bore my viewers to death. I thought it was fun. A lot of people say that it's a crutch to say it's fun with friends, but I feel like I've played multiplayer games that are with friends and not fun.
Yeah, so, right. Yeah, so, true.
So for me, I'm like, if it's fun with friends, it's doing something right. And for me, I think it's just the idea of exploring the world together with your buddy. So yeah, it's not a single player Fallout game. I know Bethesda said you can play it by yourself. You can play it solo, but the enemies are just not scaled properly for it. The enemy, and not even enemies, but the enemy count is just not scaled properly for it. You'll run out of ammunition depending on your build. You'll break your stuff. It's just much more grindy by yourself. Right. If you play it with a group of friends, it's just more enjoyable to explore. It gives you a better pacing because you clear areas out a little bit quicker, so you get a chance to read all the terminals, read all the notes. It's much better with friends. It's absolutely a multiplayer game, which
I have a question for you. When playing it, so you build your settlements and all that stuff, and you've messed around with some of the building.
Yeah.
Somebody said something, and I just don't believe it because it doesn't make any sense. But somebody said that your settlements are only there for the time you're playing, and then when you go away, they're not there anymore. Am I going nuts in what I was reading, or is that actually what's happening?
So what happens is there are workshop spaces, and then there are wherever you want to place your camp. And whenever you build, you can blueprint what you've built and save that blueprint. So when you go back to build again, you can, it literally has that entire structure you saved, and you just click RT or R2 and you just place it down. There's two issues with it. Number one, that build you have for that one area,
right?
Just architecturally, the way the floors are laid out or whatever, the way, whatever you were building into or on top of, may not work in the new area you're setting up on, which is a consistently frustrating issue. On top of that, nothing stays permanently. It's not like Fallout 4 where I dump a whole bunch of resources into all these workshop spaces and I'm able to just build up into this place. I can leave my game. I can come back right now, or I can come back a year later. All that shit's still there. In Fallout 76, once you build in a place, you leave it, you exit the game, the workshop space is free. It's not there anymore. You know, that's the thing with the blueprinting system. It's like, okay, you got to rely on that. But then this awesome cabin maybe you built, that just might not work in the area you need to set down your camp. So sometimes you'll spend the money, move your camp, take out the blueprint, and be like, fuck me, this isn't going to work here.
Right.
And so that can get frustrating. And it doesn't incur. And since there's a stash issue with the game where you're collecting all these resources to use for future building, it kind of sucks that there isn't an area where your building is permanent, because that's your time to spend the resources you've been collecting.
Okay.
So the game kind of just headbutts itself, or it's hitting its head against the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, everything that I've seen, like I said, it seems to be a little bit more structurally sound than it was prior, technology-wise. What was your FPS like? Were you getting... Were you...
It got better each time, but for the most part, it was... It was
jank, usually, a little like up and down.
It got better each build, but yeah, usually under 30, which I've made it pretty obvious in my videos. I'm like, this is just, it's not even like, because it's easy to have the Red Dead goggles on and be like, every game needs to be like this, but like,
oh, for sure.
Good luck with that, you know, but there is a quality and a standard that I do expect from AAA developers who have a lot of fucking money like Bethesda. And I think after 4 and its tremendous success and the re-release of Skyrim and Fallout Shelter's success, and you see the steps forward that maybe a Doom Eternal takes. You see the steps forward that Prey took with Moon Crash. I don't care Fallout 76 is a new idea. There is so much about it that is like, these are the same issues. It's time to fix them. So I've kind of said that, like, yeah, this FPS dropping, these hitches, these crashes, the game deleting itself, lacking of PC optimization, or not optimization, PC settings, though. That type of stuff just should not be allowed. The fact that there's no push to talk on PC, that's crazy.
Yes. That's crazy. The people in your Discord were like, what the fuck is happening right now? Yeah, that's insane.
It's like, at that point, if someone's got a mic hooked up and their baby's crying or they're hearing chewing of a food, it's not like on PS4 or Xbox One, just enter your own party, have your headphones on, you're good. You know, you don't have to hear anything else, just the game volume. But when you're on PC, you know, if there's a push to talk, at least someone has to hold a button and be like, hey, does anyone got like 5 purified water? But you know, it cuts out all the background noise because they have to press a button for it to fucking happen. But man, that's a crazy omission to me as well.
I think so. Do you see this as you played it? Do you feel that this is their platform? We were talking about Final Fantasy 15 being a platform. Do you actually feel like this is there was somebody in your Discord, I think it was Paper Bag Crusher, saying he felt that Fallout 76 was sort of a stopgap game because some devs had some time and they were like, let's do this, but our real games are Starfield and what have you.
Yeah.
Do you actually feel that way, or do you feel 76 is actually like Bethesda 10 years from now still doing like Fallout 76?
I feel like it's a stopgap game. I just, that's the vibe it gave me initially. You know, I feel like it'll be supported so long as it's making money, which it's a Fallout game. And it's an online title. I think it will continue to make money, even though, like, there's a vocal community on the internet that's like, this game's going to suck. Fuck this game.
Right.
You know, you and I have hit on it constantly with these types of titles that there are the more laid-back gamers. And by that, I mean, like, the guys and girls who like their Madden, their FIFA, whatever. You know, they don't look for the hardcore deep story. They just look for an experience with friends, that type of thing. And this is just right up that alley. So, and Fallout kind of hit the mainstream with 4, so 76 is just only going to grow the game and have it do massively well. But what was you asked an initial question that I think I just got off track with.
No, that was pretty much it. I was just wondering, like, is this the do we see this as the platform versus...
I'm expecting, to answer the Starfield aspect, I am personally expecting that to be, like, a big leap forward.
Yeah.
And if that's
do you mean technology-wise, like a different engine?
Tech-wise, I don't know if it'll be a different engine. Because I just feel like Bethesda Game Studios, see, that's the thing with this engine argument, is there's a reason why they stick with it, which I get, but there's also, you know, I feel like on the side with this side project, but this stopgap game, as I view it, it's that it buys them some time to continue to build a new engine for something bigger and newer. Because here's the thing is that, if Starfield doesn't have a new engine, Elder Scrolls 6 absolutely has to have one. But I feel like since Starfield's a new IP, it's going to be a new adventure for Bethesda, you can't go into this with the same issues as before. You just can't. And I want to see a Bethesda Game Studios that, like, you look at Killzone, you look at Horizon, you're like, what the fuck? Like, this
exactly.
is completely different. I want that feeling. You know, I want that. Even... because as much as I love Red Dead 2, you can tell it's a Rockstar game. It's got that GTA look and feel.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
With the HUD, with the layout of the camera, there's just that, you know, it's a Rockstar game. And I want to have that DNA change from Bethesda where it's like, oh, shit, this is nothing like what we've seen before.
So prior to Telltale shutting down, they had switched from their engine to Unreal.
Okay.
Unity. Yeah, sorry, Unity. And because there were so many issues with it. And... It does take a long time. Like, they were talking about how, like, everybody had to stop work for, like, 3 months just to learn the new engine. That all makes sense. What I hope is that maybe, you know, 76 is that stopgap where they've got a ton of people working on it. And then, you know, you've got 76 running. And now you just tell everybody, okay, you're done working on the old stuff. You got your, you know, now you got to bone up on this new engine. Mm-hmm. I honestly, I don't know about you. I sort of wish Bethesda would just go with Unreal and be done with it. Because I couldn't believe the FPS thing that somebody was talking about online, and where if it goes too high, it fucks up. That's a bug from, like, 1942. Like, that has been there forever. So, but imagine Bethesda's unrestrained fucking, like, you know, the way they like to do their worlds with all this shit happening. I don't know if Unreal could do it. But I sometimes wish they would because you can interact with everything doesn't mean you don't walk into a town and there's a building you go into and you can hear shit bouncing off each other because it's fucking glitched and you can hear, like, fruit bouncing. It's like, I wish that wouldn't happen anymore. I don't want to turn a Bethesda game on.
It's almost fortified that argument because in 76, like, you can't do what you've done in every Bethesda Game Studios title prior where, let's say I looked at an object, I held A, I could pick it up, look at it, I could use the thumbstick, rotate that object,
right,
put it back down on the counter. I could totally interact with it. And it gave the world this feeling, but now every object's just kind of static. And, like, I can jump on the table and knock the shit over. I could do that if I wanted to. But it gives it this static feeling, this less interactive experience where you were just saying like, oh, they wouldn't have that world interaction, but it's like now it's kind of gone in a way. So
Yeah.
why not just do it then?
Why not? Why not, man? Dude, wouldn't it be so cool to see Bethesda's idea with like not muddy textures?
Yeah,
Like,
that's the other thing. Yeah, the Fallout 76 does it looks great at times, and there are other points where just things don't load in. It's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
just
I don't
doesn't.
know. I personally, hopefully it's a new engine, the next one, what have you. Hopefully they do something like that, because I agree with you. I'd like to turn a Bethesda game on and not go, Bethesda game. Like every game you
I
get,
want that leap forward.
the moment you start it, you're all, yeah, Bethesda game. I mean, it would be nice to see that switch for
I agree.
sure.
I agree.
For sure.
Last on the list, we're going to talk about the Diablo Immortal shenanigans. So everyone's pretty much heard of it at this point in time. There was a mobile game announcement for Diablo. We're going to go over another news bit for that. Carrick's got us covered. And yeah, man, let's just get into it.
All right, so this is from Screen Rant. It says, BlizzCon 2018's Diablo Immortal announcement fiasco. It says, what was supposed to be an exciting weekend for Activision Blizzard and fans, paying to attend, by the way, of BlizzCon 2018, turned out to be a PR nightmare and a lead to a drop in Activision Blizzard's stock price, which I have to admit, they may be wrong. There's some other stuff there. After teasing the multiple Diablo projects were in development for months now, Blizzard took to the main stage at BlizzCon, where its most passionate and hardcore fans gathered for news on what's next, and they announced a mobile game, Diablo Immortal. Long story short, fans wanted the inevitable Diablo 2 announcement for PC, which reportedly was planned for BlizzCon 2018 originally, and instead got a seemingly China-focused mobile game that was quickly developed, where chances are there will be some harsh and controversial monetization options.
So the response to this was pretty heavy. There was a lot of negativity. I guess we'll just start off with, what do you initially feel when you saw, pretty much developers on stage, kind of like the guy asking, like, is this a delayed April Fool's joke?
Yeah.
People on the internet saying like, fuck this, fuck them, the mass dislikes on the trailer, then Blizzard in turn like removing dislikes apparently or something like that. What was your initial takeaway to some of the reaction by gamers to clearly Blizzard's, in my opinion, lack of awareness, kind of being out of touch with what their fans clearly wanted?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were out of touch for doing it at BlizzCon. So a mobile game's fine, and in fact, investors like mobile games. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people are wondering if the stock price has anything to do with that, because those are separated. I mean, sure, people can go, oh, the reaction's going to be poor, so we're going to sell. But at the same time, there's some other things that were happening. But I think overall, terrible. It would be like you and I showing up. Well, it would be like the E3 that Bethesda showed up and showed fucking nothing, right? Like, that's, except here, it's sort of like their Fallout shelter, where you're like, what the fuck? But then they talk about other things. This is just like, hey, here's a mobile game. Not only that, if you look at the picture, the leak, like the photo, it looks like it's going to be remastered Diablo or something like that, and instead it's a mobile game. I think it led people, wow, down the wrong fucking path, and they're not happy about it. And I get it. I get it. I mean, we've had disappointing events, maybe not this disappointing, but you and I have had where we've been like prior to an event, E3, like, yeah, this is going to be blah, blah, blah. And you're
Fist
just sitting there
bumping.
going, yeah. And you're like, what's happening here? Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah, dude. That's the thing is like my instant feeling when I saw this was, I imagined if you're at BlizzCon, that's probably your most hardcore fan base. Like people are traveling
Yeah.
to go here from around the world. There's probably some Diablo fans who are like, yo, man, like we're gonna see the next Diablo announced live. Like this shit is special to people. And I just think of it like, imagine if for me when I always say it, like my pinnacle of game hype for a while was Fallout 4 when I was just young Maddie off the walls, excited as all fuck for it. And I thought, imagine if I traveled to E3 and I walk in the building and they show Shelter and they show nothing else.
Yeah.
I'd be like, what the fuck? And I would be livid. Now I handle my anger a little bit differently, where I don't say this as a white knight or like I'm on my you know, I'm on my pedestal, like, look at me, I'm a more superior human. I don't say that because we've all lost our temper and all been like, you need a wake-up call. So that guy took to the mic and asked him if it was a joke. I get why. I'm not going to personally berate him for his reaction, because even though I think what he did was wrong, people get mad, you know? And I feel like while we can't control him and what he did and how he reacted, I feel like Blizzard should not have been so tone deaf to the idea that a person wouldn't do that to their employees and be like, hey, you know, that thing you're working on for a while, I think it's a joke. And the guy didn't blink when he said it.
No, of course, we're now in the age when everybody wants to be a star. So, like, ignoring him, because I don't give a shit what he said. I get where he's coming from. But I think that ignoring any reaction there, that reaction on the trailer, especially for Blizzard fans, is
pretty
informative.
I think that's telling more than
anything. Yeah, and so to me, that's even more informative than, like, somebody getting angry. That's, like, multiple millions of somebody getting angry, and then also just indicating to Blizzard, like, whoa, did you guys fucking not think?
Yeah.
And what I guess an E3 is everybody. So when you go to E3 and you're Microsoft, maybe you're holding something for your Xbox conference. Like, that makes sense. Sony's done their PSN conferences in the past. That makes sense that maybe they hold something back. You don't like it. Bethesda does their shit. But this is BlizzCon. It's fucking in the name. It's... And I always talk about casual fans that aren't like you and I, but even casual fans, I mean, you're paying to go there, right? You're paying tickets to get in. You've got your flights.
You pay for a visual or a digital ticket too. You can't watch for free online.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's tone deaf about it, is that internally, it's a bunch of people and no one going, hey, guys. And they did say that they had planned on doing an announcement at 2008's at this BlizzCon. I wonder why they would not have. That's even more interesting to me.
Yeah.
Is why did they not, if they had planned it? What is there
it's
something wrong?
Like, for me, the way I view it, and this might be the skeptic in me, but the way I view it is almost like a knee-jerk fake leak. To, you know, be like, hey, we were going to do something, and like kind of to salvage fans who are really upset, raving all over the internet, fuck this game, fuck this, fuck this, fuck this.
That, oh, we planned on it.
Yeah, oh, we planned on it, but you know, this should happen, right? At least like it saves some face. Like, okay, something is coming, and maybe their philosophy is like, oh, they bought into previously that leaked image, and I think Blizzard themselves said multiple Diablos in the work were... Fans did expect a 4 or a 2 remake. I'm not entirely sure because I'm not super in touch with the Diablo community. The only one I've played fully is 3. So I do apologize to Blizzard fans if I'm not up to shape. I play a lot of Overwatch. But I feel like it could have been some knee-jerk intentional leak. Just because sometimes... This is in no way disrespecting the work of Jason Schreier, because I admire his ability to show... the hidden info of the industry and shine some light on that type of stuff. So maybe that's the case. I just felt like the timing was really, really well done to whoever the source was that told them that. I felt like if that was something that had to be information leaked out, it could only happen beforehand, you know? Because... if it came internally, they probably weren't predicting this reaction, so they didn't feel the need to leak it out.
Right.
It happens. Bad reaction. Leak it out. Say, hey, someone internally told me this was the plan, but...
Yeah, there's fake sources, too. I mean, and they can appear real. You can have... I mean, and remember, who knows who this was, right? If you and I ran a company, and we're super high in the company, and we're fairly secretive about stuff just to be safe... I could just tell the people below me, we were planning on doing a you know, we were working with somebody
right.
on a little trailer for Blizzard. But and then those people who work for you are like, oh, okay. And I'm going to tell you, I've worked at a company where, like, the leader said stuff that didn't turn out to be
totally
right?
true.
Yeah, so I would agree. I didn't think about that, but I would change my opinion to there's probably a pretty good chance, yeah, that was a complete... save a face because you have to. You can't have a free fall drop and people just, like, you know, right now everybody's a star, everybody's got a YouTube channel and everybody's doing a video about it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's all negative, and you have to get in front of it somehow, as soon as fucking possible.
Yeah. And let someone just be like, hey, well, not even like, here's something positive, just here's what could have happened and what is at least happening. Because most people were saying, and I think it's more of a retrospective statement, most people were saying like, oh, well, if they just showed a little logo after it all, I still think that most people would have been angry as fuck about this game, because then it would have been, yeah, we got Diablo Immortal, okay, but then we got the logo for 4. Isn't that what we wanted to see? It just, they were losing every single way unless this was a small announcement and then they made the big deal, Diablo 4.
You know what else is interesting? This is also after EA's disastrous showing of Command & Conquer Mobile at E3.
Oh, yeah.
Where people were just like, what the fuck? And the thing is you can only have it a couple ways. We've talked about this before. If you say that people were dumb enough to not pick up on it, then you're in deep shit and you shouldn't trust them. Like, you should be like, oh, fuck, what are they? If they didn't figure out this, then what other things are they not figuring out? Like, if they're out of touch here, they're not just magically only out of touch here. They're out of touch with everything. Or there was a plan, and then that's even, like you said, it is even weirder. It's like, what if there was a plan to do this, and we find out that that's true, and they didn't?
Right.
What the fuck is going on? Like, why would they not do that? Did they just hold off? And again, if everybody's in a circle, and we're like, we're going with Diablo as an announcement, even after seeing... or prior to thinking about EA and Command & Conquer, they're like, okay, we're doing this. And then somebody says, let's not do it for so-and-so reason. If I were any business person, I would look back at those events, the E3 events showing that mobile game, and go, like, we can't do this, guys. We have to have something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in fact, I would just have people walk out. Look at what they did at Respawn. Because wasn't it EA or E3 where Respawn, they just walked up to him, sat down, and said, so you're working on a Star Wars game. And it pissed people off. Because it was so generically like, there was no big announcement. But for Christ's sakes, you do need something. And you're right that people would have still got mad retroactively. That's sort of a stupid thing to say, that right. Like, oh, just the picture would placate everybody. But what this mimics is the feeling that I get almost every time there's a Sony, E3 or event. Every single time it gets done, if it is not a good event, there is always the rumors that they were going to show something else. It's a defensive mechanism, and it just starts instantly. So it's like, who knows where the we were going to show thing really came from.
Right.
Like, was it a QA tester, or was it like a higher up muckety muck? I mean, we'll probably never know.
Yeah.
But it's a weird situation.
It is.
A weird situation.
Indeed. That's all the news that we've got this week, though. All right.
Oh, Hitman 2. I just want to say it's really good.
Right. Let's talk some Hitman 2. Hold on. Go off.
It's really fucking good. Well, I just think that I would like to see Hitman 2, some of the improvements it has in all other games. So, like, you see Spider-Man and you're all, I like this. I want it in all other games. Hitman continues with, like, challenge mode, story missions. And so you'll complete a story mission, which is the main story. You beat it. You beat a level. But there's like these mini stories. And this was introduced in 1. But in 2, they're even more developed. So like, let's say you'll come up to somebody. You'll be all story mission unfolding. And you'll wait and you'll listen. You'll eavesdrop. And then they'll be like, oh, this guy's got an electric car. And it's his baby. And if something goes wrong, he's going to respond right away. And you're like, oh, that's how I'm going to set him up for death. Like, that's how I'm going to kill him.
Gotcha.
And it'll say, congratulations, you completed this story, but there's these 3. Do you want to replay the mission? And I got to tell you, dude, I replayed a mission all 6 times to get through one of the stories. And it really does make you go, oh no, dude, I'm going to start over here. And because In the Hitman games, as you defeat a level, it unlocks new starting points. So originally, like, let's say in the Florida level, you start at the inside or outside, and you have to get frisked, right, and go in.
Right.
But as you defeat it, it starts. You can start you in other places dressed as other things, a chef. Now, so this is stuff that did happen in 1, but 2 just is fleshed the fuck out. And the challenges, it'll be like you need to smash all 3 people with a statue all at the same time. And you're like, okay, they don't even come to that place. How do I do that? Well, how you do it is like using all of your disguises, and you're throwing the coin to get people to come to a certain area that they would never come to if you watch them walk around. Like, they just don't even come to the spot. But you get everybody there, and then you fucking... It takes a lot of patience, and the replayability is fucking unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, it's so good, dude.
I mean, I've always enjoyed that about the Hitman games, especially like the route they took with the first one, is even though I wasn't a fan of the episodic releases, I liked how it felt like every episode got a full focus, and they did everything they could with it before they moved on to the next one, and then they packaged it all together, and it was like, holy shit, you can play the first level like 10 times over and still not see everything.
Yeah, for an example of what, when I say I want every other game to have it, number one game that did grind a bit at the end was Spider-Man. At the end of Spider-Man, a lot of people wanted the end of Spider-Man. Even though it was a great game, there was a lot of people were like, okay. Yeah, I know a lot of people who were like, I get it, I love it, everything about it, but the repetitive nature of the bad guys, here's another car wreck, here's another blah, blah, blah.
I get that.
But imagine Spider-Man now, instead of just little things, almost like achievements that you like, or platinums, but imagine where it's like, to kill, to get this special thing, kill Fisk, but do it with this item. Mm-hmm. Or what have you. And it causes you to return to that event. And open world games haven't been doing that very well. There's the reason to return to an open world game is simply the chaos.
Right.
And the reason why it feels special to you in Red Dead is because they change up the voice. That's sort of what this is doing, is changing up the experience a little bit. And I personally would love to see it in all open world games. Awesome. Just fucking make me have a reason to not only interact with that person, but have it slightly different where I have to think. And dude, I did like 6-step kills where you like, I was setting all these kills up, not just like, okay, I'm going to lead him over here and choke him out.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to lead him over here. Then I'm going to start this sound. Then I'm going to get him here. Then I'm going to change into the mascot, you know, giant fucking duck mascot suit. And then I'm going to choke him out and hide him. It's just so much replayability.
Depth. Yeah. Depth for sure. It sounds fun. It's one that I eyed for this year, but I just, you know, if there's one other game I'm playing before Smash, it's gonna be Darksiders 3.
Wait, when's Smash, by the way?
Beginning of December. The 7th sticks out to me, but I might be wrong.
And then Darksiders is this, I think codes went out, actually. So that's, I think that Darksiders is like, no, Darksiders is end of the month, too.
I think so.
Right?
I want to say the 28th for that, but...
Damn, yeah, forgot about that too. Yeah, I get why people wouldn't just jump into Hitman. I do have to say the one thing about Hitman 2 is it includes one's levels. So if you owned number one, mm-hmm. in any way, you can sign into your account and it'll download all of number one's levels into number two, and then any new things you have in two now work in one. So in one, they didn't have the briefcase. The briefcase allows you to put a bigger weapon in it and walk around without having everybody.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and that's all awesome. Of the adjustments are all added to all of the levels of one, which I was like, okay, we'll check it out, and it actually does change things. So that's a good deal. I mean,
really good.
That's a good reward for somebody who, you know, had that original game.
Good stuff. That's great. Yeah. I didn't know about that. That's really cool. Wow. That's a good way to cap off the discussion.
Yes,
that
indeed.
That was episode 177 of the Ham Radio Podcast. We hope all of you enjoyed. Carrick, thank you so much for joining me, my good friend.
You bet. It was a blast.
And we will catch you guys in next week's episode.
Peace out.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.